It's time to learn what's happening in nearby Sauk Prairie. Raul Labrèche is here with another edition of Mornings at McFarland's from our 99.7 FM studios at McFarland's in Sauk City. Today's program is brought to you by DeMars Plumbing, Prairie Clinic, and Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gift Shop.
Nothing could be finer than to be on Carolina in the morning. Nothing is a win like a talk with Kathy Lenz at McFarland's. Yeah, that's right. Wins was not pluralized, and Lenz is a plural with an S at the end. I'm sorry, those of you that are, you know, just really caught up in those sorts of details, I apologize right at the front here, but, you know, I did what I could, all right? I'm sorry, I failed completely with my rhyme. But Kathy, you'll forgive me for that, won't you?
We're fine, we're good.
My guest this morning is Kathy Lindsay, Executive Director of Durward's Glen. So Kathy, always a pleasure to have you on the show. We get to talking before we go on the air, and it's like, oh God, we got to remember to talk about that. Oh, we have to talk about that. But just always a joy to talk with you. So thank you for getting up early and coming up the steps and joining us at the Sauk Prairie Studios here at WRPQ Radio.
Glad to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Well, gosh, now Kathy, the last time you were on the show, you were in the midst of a really big event. I mean, because it was May, and I believe, if I remember right, we were doing the, it was Mental Health Awareness Month, right?
That is correct.
And
May was just event after event after event, which is great. We had the Gathering on Mental Health that took place that the second Saturday in, on Friday and Saturday in May. And we had a great turnout of folks for the session on trauma-informed communities.
Okay.
A great mixture of people from healthcare, from education, from prison systems, from the clergy, just folks who live with this kind of stuff or are trying to better understand what's going on, therapists, other folks who are just, we're really taken aback a little bit because the speaker, Scott Webb, came and talked about what the ACEs study and what that has found, that Kaiser has put out that particular piece. It's a study that they did with childhood trauma.
Okay.
And when they have experienced trauma, and they've identified it down to 10 questions that people can answer, core areas that they take a look at. When people have less than 4, they have less problems.
Okay.
Later in life with mental health, with addiction issues, suicide attempts, a number of different things. But when they have more than 4, those numbers go up significantly.
Okay.
And so they said, well, what would be happening with our medical doctors, with our clergy, with other professionals, if we were asking people a little bit more about trauma experiences and have people answer these 10 questions,
okay,
and they're finding that it makes a significant impact for folks. But again, it goes back to what we talked about earlier. So often we've been operating out of the, what's wrong with them? Why are they acting that way?
Right.
Forgetting to talk about what's happened to them.
Right.
You know, what is that lifetime experience, which is now playing out in front of us?
Sure. The seeking to understand component, which is, yeah, I honestly, I worry about that more and more with our culture the way it is, because everything is geared towards hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, get that food, get through the drive-thru, get out, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're so acculturated for that, you know, just hecticness. And then, but the kind of thing we're talking about here requires a slow down, a breathe, a think, a reflect, you know, which, you know, it's almost getting to the point where people are intolerant of that need to do that sometimes. It's just like, I don't know what to say to that. You know, when people get, you know, well, why should I have to wait for this? Or why should I have to spend any time thinking about this? Or why should I have to care? You know, and you just, you kind of get stuck in this thing of, well, the alternative is more dysfunction, you know, really.
Just saying. Well, and the other part of this is, why aren't they over that already? Why can't they just let it go?
Right.
Not realizing that trauma doesn't let go of the brain that way.
Right. Right.
Well, it has its little tentacles in through our brains and will cause a reaction continually.
Right. Well, and not recognizing, I think, too, the whole attitude of letting go of things, that can be very destructive, too. You know, that there's a fairly famous conference that I'm aware of that I've never liked the title of it, because the title is No Regrets. And it just bothers me that I understand the premise of that, of wanting to live a life of no regrets, that you can live a life, you know, fully and completely and, you know, in responsibly in a way that allows you to not have regrets, but that just doesn't happen in this lifetime. And people that don't have regrets, that aren't reflecting on, oh, I could have handled that differently, or gosh, you know, not, I think about that again, and I wish I would have been better at blah, blah, blah. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And yet we do have a, I'll just like, get over it, get over yourself, go. And it's like, you know, maybe if we didn't spend so much time focusing on that and spent more time on what could have happened.
And then how do we help people process? Because that was the other part of this whole conversation, right, is it takes a safe community support system, because people don't heal on their own. They heal because they're in community. Right. They heal because there's a safe place for them to process what has happened. Okay. And then they really can start taking steps to move forward. But if you jar someone through, they've had something happen that makes them, and it was interesting to see the brain scans and the pieces that show the difference in the brain at that point, because the brain actually changes and what chemicals are actually produced at that point.
Interesting. So then you had, that was the first day, right? And then you had an evening and next
the
day.
And that was the Honest, Open, and Proud, which is done by the WISE Group, which is a coalition of different mental health organizations, helping people who are living with mental health challenges take a look at, do I want to share what's going on in my life? That could potentially help fight stigma. It could have other consequences for me. Is that what I want to do? If it is, how do I go about it?
Sure.
And literally gave people a chance to explore, is that what I want to do? And they then, some of them practiced and then presented for the rest of the group, how would I, in fact, tell my story?
Okay.
Where could I do that? Where would be safe? What makes sense?
Right.
You know, is it something that I maybe just do one-on-one with just a few people? Is it something that I do in a much broader audience?
Sure.
We can't decide that for anybody else.
Sure.
They have to discern that. But again, it was helpful for them to think about, what are the pros and cons if I do or if I don't?
Sure. Well, and interesting, because it underscores that whole concept of community, that we heal within a community, and forcing people to sort of do that analysis of what's the community response going to be, you know, what is my community response going to be to this information, and, you know, am I ready to accept what that could do?
And it gave them an actual tool to say, how might people respond? How could I find out where people are at?
Right.
How could I test the waters in something that isn't about me directly, that gives me an idea of what I might be dealing with in this arena?
Sure. A testing. We talked that in computer science, there's the concept of the sandbox. You know, so if something appears in the wild, if you will, that, you know, appears to be dangerous, you can bring it into a sandbox environment and test it. So, and I always think that's such a great way to think about some of these things, that, you know, I have many, 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 many fond memories of being a kid and playing in sandboxes all over the place. And it is it's an important, you know, healing place, you know, I strongly suggest that. In fact, if you're looking for something to do to just kind of release some stress, find a sandbox or a sand area and go play in it for a while. I guarantee you will see the world differently.
It'll be much better.
Yeah, sandbox therapy. I'm patenting that.
I think it was just also wonderful was that we had people from this local area who took on the challenge and came, as well as people from a greater area. So we had a great turnout for both programs. And again, I heard from people afterwards who were like, this really shifted my thinking. I had one of the priests who could come for part of the program, but not the entire program. And he's like, I regret I didn't reschedule myself. This has been really helpful for things to think about how I go forward.
Sure. I suppose, so are you already planning now for a similar thing next May?
We already have the group who are talking about, so what's next?
Okay.
Where to? What are we going to do? Well, and in the meantime, they said, can you hold more Honest, Open, and Proud trainings? Can we have, they're like, now that we've done this, because of course, when you tell people about it, because I went to NAMI, I went to several other groups, talked about what the training was. And it was funny because at the time, several of them said, I'm still not sure I know entirely what it is, but I trust you and I'm going to come. And they're like, and it was funny because once they did it, they're like, okay, this is definitely something we have to tell even more about. Though they were still trying to think about, how do I explain what it is we're asking you to do?
Right. Well, sometimes you have to jump into the pool before you know how good the pool is going to be.
But they're like, we're definitely bringing people back and we're going to tell them how great it is.
Excellent.
That I think is going to be the... And WISE was thrilled with the turnout and the work that was done. And they actually talked to several of our participants to say, would you be willing to be trained as WISE facilitators so that you could actually actually lead this in the local area.
So how many folks total were invited?
We had about 60-some who came on Friday, and okay. we had a limit of 12 who could come through for the small group.
Okay, and both of those were, okay, mm-hmm. excellent. Well, and what a wonderful environment to do something like that in, too. I mean, Durward's Glen, from its inception, was meant to be a quiet, reflective place where that kind of healing could take place. Mm-hmm. So,
and we're really fortunate that we have ongoing events just like that.
Right, right. Which we have a bunch more events to talk about, too. We're going to take a quick break here to hear a word from our sponsors. And when we come back here on WRPQ Radio, we will talk more with Kathy Lenz, the Executive Director of Durward's Glen. Kathy has a whole bunch of sheets and a bunch of talking points. So she is ready to let loose with everything you want to know about the things going on at Durward's Glen this summer that you do not want to miss. Okay? So, and I'm speaking to myself as much as anybody else. So don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back after a word from our wonderful sponsors. And when we come back, we'll be talking more with Kathy Lenz here on Mornings at McFarland's on WRPQ Radio 99.7 FM Baraboo Sauk Prairie. Take her away, Mike.
The almost unearthly luster of pearls has always been prized and well-loved as a gift. Sophie's Fine Jewelry in Baraboo has shimmering pearls and earrings, pearls in pins, pearls in necklaces and pendants, pearls with price tags as varied as the selection. Pearls with their mysterious glow add a translucent beauty to the woman who wears them. When you give a gift of pearls, she'll love them as much as she'll love you. Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gifts, Highway 12 in the Baraboo Mini Mall.
DeMars Plumbing, since 1982, is the plumbing company to turn to for quality design, installation, maintenance, and repair of residential and business plumbing systems. DeMars Plumbing specializes in plumbing fixtures and water heaters, septic systems, private water well systems, radiant in-floor heating, and excavating and trucking needs. DeMars Plumbing, located just west of Sauk Prairie. They're open weekdays 7 to 5. Call 608-544-4471. Online at DemarsPlumbing.com. Summer is warm weather, the great outdoors, and some common health ailments. These can include sunburn, poison ivy, tick and insect bites, bee stings, sinus, pink eye, earaches, and sore throats. When illness strikes, see the Prairie Express Clinic at 112 Helen Street in Sauk City. Prairie Express is a walk-in clinic providing the best possible care for patients ages 12 months and up. Prairie Express Clinic offers convenient hours of 9 to 7 Mondays, 1 to 7 Tuesday through Thursday, and Fridays 9 to 4. Prairie Express Clinic, dedicated to caring for the community, the past 60 years.
And we're back here at Mornings at McFarland's on WRPQ Radio 99.7 FM. My guest this morning is Kathy Lenz, Executive Director of Durward's Glen. And we were talking, we were talking about one of our sponsors, Sophie's Jewelers. Actually, you have good experience with Norma, Sophie, who's one of the owners of Sophie's. So Sophie's, we're giving you an extra call out today because what happened with Norma?
They were just at the Gala for the Glen, which took place also in May. And they're longtime supporters and just have been great folks to work with. And when they came to the silent auction, we had two pieces from the plein air event that we had from scenes from Durward's Glen.
Which was last fall, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Norma was on the hunt. She loved those and she was trying to bid those up and someone else was bidding around right along with it. And apparently she got one of the paintings but not the other.
Okay.
And so she was like, what? I got outbid? And so it was so wonderful because the other family who got the other painting came back the next weekend and they said, we've been thinking about it and that should be a set. Please give this to the lady who got the other one. So I was able to give that to Norma. So she now has paintings of scenes of the Glen, the Hermitage, as well as the pond and that area done by one of the plein air artists. And she was so excited. Because she's like, we've been coming there for years with our kids. And
why wouldn't you be excited about that, right?
I was always laughing. I was just like, this is great, you know?
Is that event going to happen again, the plein air event?
The plein air won't happen this year, but we're making plans to see what we can do to help gear up again. Because it takes the judges, the sponsors, thinking about some of the different buyers who would be coming in.
Okay.
All of that, which we got a lot of headway on.
Okay.
And we actually have some of the neighboring organizations for plein air have said, can we join you in that effort to help plan for that? Because we loved the site.
Okay, so it may end up being a biannual event. event or something like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. So now, speaking of the beauty of the surroundings, you have a couple of events that are specifically geared towards taking advantage of the beauty of the surroundings in the summer months when things are even more beautiful. So,
well, and it's at, one of them is actually happening this weekend.
So amazing. Never,
people are like, well, you have a while yet to the next event. I'm like, no, I don't.
Really don't. Yeah, because I see it's Sunday, June 18th, right?
That's correct. It's the Corpus Christi.
And it's the 104th.
So for 104 years now, they've been doing this German, actually, Catholic tradition of taking the monstrance. So they will have Mass up on the Holy Family altar and shrine, which is the terraced area.
Okay.
Right behind it is the 200-year-old pine stand. So it's just beautiful up in that area. Outdoor Mass taking place at 11:30. And then after that, Father will then put the host in the monstrance, and they will do a procession to all of the different shrines. And then ultimately end up in the Immaculate Conception Chapel, where they'll have their final benediction.
Okay.
But it's just a long history of, you know, celebrating, because Corpus Christi means the body of Christ.
Right.
It's celebrating
right.
that particular piece.
Right. So then is that, by going along to the different shrines, are those supposed to be like Stations of the Cross? Is it along
Not so
that
much
route?
As stations, because we do have outdoor Stations of the okay. Cross, in fact. But it's just taking some time to just really recognize who Christ is
okay.
and having the folks to have that chance. And they will actually say prayers at each of the different stations
okay.
along the way.
Okay.
And, you know, for us, we get a lot of visitors who come just to see those different shrines.
You know, that's something that's always been interesting to me, because I was raised Catholic, and I have lots of friends that are Greek Orthodox, Serbian Orthodox, and one of the things that's always very interesting to me about that is those traditions that are you know, I think there's two ways of looking at them. People tend to either be really just enriched by them and have that sense of, you know, this is so much bigger than I am because it's been practiced for so long, and understanding why are the certain prayers that are said, why are they said, and why are these different things significant and what's significant about them, yada, yada. And then there's the other part of it. It's just like, oh, we're stuck in the mud. Oh, it's always same old, same old, same old. And I guess I don't know how to reconcile those two worlds, but maybe this is an opportunity, because at least you can appreciate the beauty of it, right?
Well, what I love about this is that you've got Fourth Degree Knights of Columbus. Those are the ones who have the special helmets and the swords and the special clothing. They will be actually leading the procession as they go through. Generally, if we have everybody come like we usually do, we usually have flower girls who are throwing flowers in advance. The altar servers have already set up from St. Al's, from Divine Mercy Parish, who said they're coming over to help.
Okay.
Father Christopher is going to be coming over to help for Mass. And so it's that kind of long history and pageantry that
sure.
has been part of the piece. And one of the pieces is the canopy itself. I mean, this is one of the old canopy. It's still the original canopy from 104 years ago.
Wow.
And I was laughing because one of the priests are like, oh, the canopies aren't that heavy, you bunch of babies. What are you complaining about? I said, this is our 104th. He goes, you've got one of the old canopies. Those are the wooden ones with the original material.
And, oh, yeah.
Which from a history standpoint is just very cool to
right.
be working with those particular pieces.
Well, you think of the craftsmanship that went into building those things. And, yeah, it's the same with a lot of the church edifices, too, from that time period. Much more, you know, intricate masonry and intricate window work and, you know, intricate cabinetry. And, you know, my grandpa actually... my mom's side was a gold leaf and wallpaper expert, and he did many of the like St. Jehoshaphat's Basilica in Milwaukee. He did all the gold leaf originally in there, and that was one of those things where there were very, very, very few people that could do that kind of work, because, you know, not only is gold leaf expensive, but it's so paper thin that applying it was very delicate, almost surgical precision kind of work, you know.
And we just don't have craftsmen who necessarily go to that detail anymore.
Yeah, now we just sprayed on, you know, I mean, to have that kind of, you know, dexterity and be able to understand the, you know, the complexity of the material and the sensitivity of it. Yeah, it's cool. So I'm sure this is one of those things where you look at it and
flags and such, so that it actually looks very Middle Ages.
Okay.
Actually, once they get all their flags and everything up, so it's a very neat pageantry piece.